prove that this psalm is, they pierced my hands and feet. And that this psalm was written 1,000 years before Christ was even born. 1,000 years. This was sung for 1,000 years before it came to pass. It's amazing. It wasn't enough to allay all my doubts, but it gave me some faith. When I would look at this, I would think, wow. But then I'd think, like the skeptics would say, maybe they made up Jesus. That's why that shroud is important to me, because it says there was a historical man who this happened to. And when you look at it, you can't help but think, this was Christ. This was the man who suffered these things, whose hands and feet were pierced, and who all these things happened to. Let's read the psalm, Psalm 22. I want you to hear the words and listen carefully. As part of this study, listen to these words. Listen to the correlation. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy. O thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me to hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong of Bashan have beset me round about. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. These are similes and metaphors for the men who were surrounding him, for the wolves who were closing in to destroy him. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. He's hanging on the cross. His bones are being pulled out of joint from the weight of his body, dragging down as his arms are nailed to the wood. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. Can you imagine the internal feelings that you would go through as this horrible event is happening? Your heart failing you. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, not a bone of him was broken. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots on my vesture. Be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my only one from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, from the horns of the bulls, of the unicorn. This, I read it according to my translation, which I did there, because the clause is kind of mixed up. We should go into the next verse. From the horns of the bulls, for thou hast heard me. You know, God did not forsake Christ on the cross. God heard Christ, and this is why I believe it. Because he was feeling forsaken, as we feel forsaken many times in our life. God, where are you? God, why don't you hear me? Don't you care about me? Don't you see where I am? But I see how petty and small my problems are compared to these problems he was having, compared to what he went through. Everything I went through is very small, very pathetic. Thou hast heard me. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye seed of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all the seed of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. And that God raised up Jesus from the dead. He raised him up again, so that God heard his cry. God did not forsake Christ on the cross, though he felt forsaken, though he felt everything a man would feel in such circumstance, in such straits. He obeyed God, and God did not forsake him. God did not leave him, but God heard him and delivered him. by raising him from the dead. Yes, he made him sit there and die, but you know what? He did not forsake him any more than he will forsake us. When we die, we know that he's going to raise us from the dead again, because we believe, as Christ believed, that we will rise. That is Christianity believes in the resurrection. We believe that we rise from the dead. That has been forgotten, totally forgotten. Because they say the resurrection is already past. They say, oh, they're in heaven, looking down from the windows of heaven, from the portals of heaven, because their itching ears wanted to hear doctrines like that, because they wanted to believe things that were not according to doctrine, but according to parables and according to narratives, that they worded it in and they screwed it in, and it's not right. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. The meek shall inherit the earth. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Seek him diligently. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's. He is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. And when they raise from the dead, those that die are going to bow. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And none can keep alive his own soul. Your soul is not immortal. There's nothing you can do. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness to a people that shall be born. That he hath done this. That he hath finished this. This is the work of the Lord. That's what he said when he finished it up on the cross. In John, he counted the words, it is finished. But look at people. They say, well, Paul, you know, that's fine. You know, but why do we even need a Savior? Well, they that are whole need not a physician, do they? But remember this, you try to show up on the judgment day before God. You try to show up and say, hey, you owe me. Hey, I deserve to enter in the kingdom. I don't need any blood on me. Because the heart is desperately wicked. Our consciences will bear witness against us. None can keep his own soul alive. There's nothing I can do in this life that's going to prepare me so that when I stand before God in judgment, I can say to him, Lord, or I can say, good sir, Mr. God, you're my Lord, but you owe me something. I'm worthy of eternal life. Therefore, give me what is mine. Give me what you owe me. God doesn't owe us anything. Nothing. We are already indebted to him for living. He can require our lives of us as soon as he pleases. Because our lives are already an extreme blessing. Extreme. I don't care how miserable it is. And I say that with a lot of caution because I live a comfortable American life.